Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Sierra Pearson, a freshman at Ukiah High.
And me, Anna Featherston, a freshman at Ukiah High.
Today our topic is Revisioning High School, Part 6. On Youth Speaks Out, we have had a recurring topic about how high school could be improved. One of two of these revisioning shows, we have had interviews with high school principals, Gordon Noslin in 2003, and John Curcio in 2014. In 2012, the show was hosted by Native American students from Round Valley High discussing the relevance of California high school curriculum to the indigenous population. The other two shows focused on the practicality of high school classes, overcoming the inefficiency of learning in a class full of distractions, and whether graduating from high school has given one any skills to enter the job market with. Those shows are available to listen to at our website, www.youthspeaksout.net.
A recent documentary by Michael Moore called Where to Invade Next has a section on how Finland made huge strides in improving their educational system. One of the main changes they made in schools was to consider homework obsolete. Elementary schools are in session for 4 hours per day, and there are no multiple choice exams, and they never teach to standardized tests. The teachers say that school is about finding happiness and a way to learn that makes you happy. They say that they teach the students to think for themselves, to be critical of what they are learning. All schools are equally funded, offer the same classes, and private schools do not exist because of the ban on tuition. We all attend Ukiah High School, the largest school in Mendocino County. Our classrooms are quite modern, each student receives a laptop for use in the classroom and to take home, and we are offered a much larger range of classes than the smaller high schools in our county. We are in a journalism class taught by Matt Lefevre, and our group is focused on making podcasts. Other electives at Ukiah High include psychology, machine shop, auto shop, photography, welding, creative writing, scrubs, and drama. Actually, the list is much longer, and we will describe these elective classes later. We have been told that the smaller schools in Mendocino County have far fewer elective classes.
For the first time this year, all Ukiah High School students have been issued a laptop computer for use in the classroom, and to take home for homework. We can write our essays, take tests, access reading material, and get class notes through these devices. At some point, many of the books we can use in classes will be eliminated by them, potentially offering a huge savings to the schools. Through these personal computers, we can obtain audio-visual aids to our studies. There is a question as to how much distraction laptops offer to students who might choose to play video games or watch unrelated videos during class. Of course, before the advent of computers, some students would find ways to distract themselves, and often others. Some students would like block scheduling at the school. This is usually done by switching or stitching two class periods together for 2 days a week. That way, whatever discussions get started in a class can be developed further. Several high schools in the county have experimented with this, with mixed results. Some classes have ended up with positive outcomes, especially in subjects where student participation is a major aspect. The level of thinking in a longer class becomes more like college studies. There is a deeper investigation of the subject. Some students get restless after an hour, maybe because, beginning in elementary school, there is always a break after 45 minutes to an hour.
Class size affects the amount of attention a teacher can give to each student. At one point in American education, 30 to 35 students in a class was considered the norm. Later, a target of limiting the number of students to 20 was the goal of numerous schools, and this appeared to have had positive outcomes. Both the teachers and students approved this shift. Since in the past decade most schools are in one economic crisis or another, class sizes have drifted into being larger again, with 25 being an average. Today, high school is widely seen as a temporary stage on the way to college, so class schedules are often based on college requirements, and these vary depending on the university or college one is thinking about attending. Class selection, even in the freshman year, is influenced by which college route one is preparing for. Students who are not planning on attending college need to make sure they complete the state requirements for graduation. In the smaller schools of Mendocino County, this is not much of a problem because the number of classes available is so limited. However, Ukiah High has a fascinating amount of academic and vocational electives, which makes choosing a schedule more complicated.
In our American educational system, we spend 4 years in high school. We attend classes for 5 days a week and about 9 months each of those years. This is a huge investment of our lives. We each have certain classes in school that we enjoy and feel enthusiastic about. We each have some classes that seem irrelevant, and we aren't sure why we need to spend our time there. High school seems to have been around for a long time. Pretty much everyone listening to this show has spent 4 years of their youth in high school. How many of the subjects you studied have turned out to be of practical use to you? In those 4 years, did you ever remember getting sleepy or wondering what the teacher was even talking about? Did you ever ask why you need to study algebra? Did you ever ask if the stories you read in history were all true? What was in high school that inspired you? What we will discuss now are our thoughts about high school, what our choices are in classes, how well our time is spent. We have thought a while about how high school could improve and become more efficient for the students, staff, and administration. We will discuss these subjects for about 40 minutes and then open the phone lines for your questions and insights. We are in the Willits studio, so our phone number will be 456-9991. We'll ask you to join in the discussion in about 40 minutes. Let's begin by each describing the most exciting class we have taken at Ukiah High and the most useful class we have taken.
Okay, so my favorite and most exciting class that I took at Ukiah High currently is journalism, the class that we're here for. I personally do podcasts, which is basically like a recorded radio show that you can listen to at any time and that you can download onto your computer or mobile device so that you can play it and then pause it and come back to it later. So we interview students, teachers, other people about opinions on anything, and we come up with content that we feel is important and fun to listen to. Other things we do in journalism is broadcasting. We write the school paper. We have social media people. And it's a really fun way to put writing to a practical use. What about you, Sierra?
My favorite class is also journalism in the high school, and one of my other classes is, it is a high school class that is available, but I have not taken it, and it's MESA, which stands for Math, Engineering, and Science Achievement. And it's basically an engineering class based on your math and science skills, kind of helps you evolve in your engineering skills as well, especially if you want to be taking a job in the MESA field or STEM, which is another branch of engineering that's kind of related to MESA, and it stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics. And some of the things we did were popsicle stick bridges, bottle rockets. I personally did mostly the egg drop in certain MESA competitions that we had, and some other stuff for like water hydraulics and stuff like that that we do towards the end of the year.
So one thing that we have been talking about is how we can make school better, and we mentioned a documentary by Michael Moore where he went to Finland and interviewed their teachers and students on what school like is there. So first of all, they have like shorter days and less homework, but I feel like their school system is really about personal growth and development and finding a way of learning that they can enjoy, because learning is so much harder when you don't enjoy what you're doing. And if you have a passion for learning, it makes everything better. It makes studying easier and it makes your end goal a lot clearer.
Well, I feel like the Finland schools that Michael Moore went to, they also base their learning mostly on the fun of kids, trying to get kids to learn more and focus on what they want to do, and the concept of you can be whatever you want to be when you grow up. It was more true there than it kind of is in the U.S., and the kids get basically more time to be kids, which in the U.S. right now, and in a lot of schools that we have, and in Mendocino County, the schools are more, you're more at school, you're more with school. School's like the main priority. You spend 6 hours just in school, and that's not even counting student activities you do, maybe sports or clubs or whatever you do after school. So we're spending most of our days out of the week, except weekends, at school, which is sometimes a good thing, but other times it's like you're not so much focused on the learning and you're more focused on trying to do your best at school, trying to get the good grades so you can get to the best colleges, and you're not really focusing on learning what you need to learn. It's just you're more going through the process and the motions every day going to school. Unlike in Finland, it's like you're more excited to learn.
Yeah, that's it's really important when you want to learn. But so when we...
Let me ask you a question. One of the points in Michael Moore's Where to Invade Next was that there's no homework in Finland.
Yeah.
And they don't really go in depth about how that works. But what do you think would happen if you had no homework in high school? Would you be learning as much, or what do you think would happen?
I think it depends on the person, because there's only so much you can learn in a class period that's 50 minutes, 55 minutes. So homework, some people take it and they don't really do anything with it. They, as Sierra said, they go through the motions. But for some people, they take the homework and they really drill down and they commit it to memory and they enjoy learning. But I think we could definitely do with less homework, not necessarily no homework at all, but I think repetition is an important part of learning, but over repeating information and just, you know, drilling into students' minds that you need to do this a certain amount of times or else you're not going to learn it is really just, it's too much. I don't think that you learn well that way.
Yeah, I agree with Anna. But with the homework, I feel like if we do have that less amount of homework, not saying no homework at all, that homework shouldn't be allowed at all. But I feel like if we just have that little amount of homework, the students will focus more on what the homework is trying to make you learn and what it's trying to get from you to learn. And I just feel like it'll eliminate a lot of stress that we get from school, especially since we're already there for so long. And it kind of helps us focus more, especially during school, and learn more so we have a lot more of that information drilled in our heads instead of all getting it drilled in our heads so fast and getting us taught the same stuff over and over again, like Anna was saying.
Well, I'm just thinking that, okay, you both used the term drill into your head, which is kind of like an implantation, which I understand that metaphor completely. But what do you think they're doing different about school in Finland? Because the reason Michael Moore went to Finland is because they have the highest educational scores on the planet now. And in 2000, they were tied with the United States at 25th. So do you think that there'd be a way to make the classroom more efficient? And we're lucky enough to have Matt Lefevre in the studio with us, who's their journalism teacher. And so anytime you want to jump in and join in this, that would be great with me.
Well, I think one big thing in Finland must be is they start from an early age with hands-on education and not that much time in the classroom, so they have time to be kids and they really get a feel for the learning. They do a lot of art programs and music programs and building, engineering, where they get to just bring in an aspect of being a kid, which is hands-on learning, building, growing. So they kind of, I would guess they would like to learn from a young age. So, and that's really important when you get older. So as you get older, they do hands-on stuff and less homework. I think that it's just really important to love to learn, because I know a lot of kids who don't, and they don't do well in school because they don't want to. And it's really a choice every day if you're going to study, if you're going to do your homework, if you're going to even go to school. So it really makes the difference from having education that young.
Yeah, and it makes the kids want to be there, and so they can learn from that early age. And I feel like also because they don't have the standardized testing and set tests and multiple choice, it makes the students and the teachers, because the teachers have to teach a lot of the material that is needed so you can do successful on those tests. So much where in Finland they don't have that, so they can teach a lot more, and they don't have to pack so much in that period of time just for the test, and they kind of get less, they get less stress, and they get to be more hands-on and learn more from that instead of trying to remember all the stuff you need just to pass this test that could depend on what college you go to in university or depend on how well you do in your schooling life. And they just teach that kid, those kids from a young age, hands-on stuff and make them want to learn and be there. Unlike now, they taught, we got taught that, like, we didn't get teach as much that we could be kids. And it was, we had to learn so much, and they didn't have those, that kids can be kids from that young age. So now, nowadays, we're all stressed from the homework, and we're all about the tests and everything, where in Finland, it's like, they have that wider range and get to be more flexible and have that mindset to learn.
I also think in Finland, a way that they use their time better is that, well, they really care about their students. So if a student is a visual learner, they might use certain methods that would really help that student, like, manage their time by using things that a visual learner would really use well. So if they make use of their time by doing these things, they don't have to be in school for as long, and they don't have to do as much homework, because they're not just doing repetitions. They're really helping the student to learn in the way that's best for them so that they can learn it quick and well, so they don't have to do things like multiple choice tests.
Yeah, and not having that multiple choice also, it gives them, because a lot of kids with multiple choice, if they don't remember it, they can use process of elimination, so they're not really learning to answer that question. They're just doing their best guess, or they're doing the process of elimination. However, whereas in Finland, they don't have that, so the kids, they kind of learn the information more better, and they're actually absorbing, like, the questions, and they don't have the other routes that they could take to do that process of elimination.
Also, one thing that they have in Finland more of is electives. They have a lot of programs in music and art and, as we said, like, hands-on things. But I think in America, we're lucky enough to have a lot of elective choices, but a lot of schools don't have that. So they'll maybe have, like a drama class, or maybe, like, something like that. But I remember when I went into seventh grade, they just reintroduced the band program, and that hadn't been around for a long time, so people didn't get exposed to musical instruments. And for me, that was really weird, because from a young age, I was exposed to music and playing piano and guitar, but, like, all of these other people who didn't have opportunities like that wouldn't know what it's like. And I think music is a super important part of development in children. So I think Finland does that with electives in their school, and it really just, you know, helps the children's minds to grow.
And having more of those electives is, like, opens the mind up to all these different possibilities of kind of, like, expressing yourself. Like, with art, you can express yourself through I am visually and through all these drawings and that. And with music and poetry, you can do it through telling or through music. And it kind of lets the students have that other route to different ways of expressing themselves. And our schools in the U.S., how a lot of them don't have those elective classes, like what Anna was saying, and how they might have these few electives, like maybe poetry or maybe drama. And we don't, and because of that, a lot of the kids don't have those other routes, like, to express themselves. So they're kind of really not that much open-minded and all, like, kind of closed in and don't have that much ways to express themselves.
Ladies, if you don't mind me asking, some people might say, in the face of science, technology, engineering, mathematics, those kind of future jobs, future fields, things like drama, music, poetry, that's fluff, and we need to focus on the hard data and the science and the jobs of the future. What would you say to someone coming from that place?
Well, I, just to start off, I remember one time someone told me that in the next 100 years, people who don't do things like play the piano are probably gonna lose their pinky fingers because we just don't use them unless we're typing or playing piano. So I think music and art can really offer skills to people who may not have them, and it's a way to express yourself, to release your anger, to cope with feelings. It's a beautiful thing that I think a lot of people need to be exposed to, because it makes you deeper as a person and more intricate.
Yeah, and I agree what Anna was saying, and with the music, coping with your feelings and everything. You know, if you don't have that, and, like, with some people, it's hard to turn to other people and talk about what your feelings and talking about what you're going through. And so with that music and that, it's, like, another way to express, like, how you're feeling or express yourself to other people without actually having to tell them. And, like, what I do when I do homework and or I'm reading or something, sometimes I put, like, a soft music in the background or just listen to music, and it helps me focus more and think more and make me to where I can actually, like, do stuff without having all this other stuff clouded in my mind and everything. It just helps me cope with my feelings and helps me focus.
And also, my mom talks a lot about the different halves of your brain and how one side is responsible for music and arts, and the other is more for hard, critical facts, science, math. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important to utilize both the halves of your brain, and there are jobs other than science, math, technology that make this world really diverse. I think if all of us were just training to be scientists, it would get really boring after a while.
Yeah, especially because we have those, like, we have plays, we have shows, we have actors, we have all the stuff, and we wouldn't have all that entertainment that if we didn't have, like, choir and band and have these electives that have us have insight to those things, so we can have these kind of people and these kind of things that help entertain us. And without those electives, we wouldn't have any of them. And like Anna was saying, if we train all of our people to become, like, scientists or engineering, we'll lose all that entertainment and a lot of that diversity we have for the entertainment.
So would you say that your emotional state has a lot to do with how effective you're learning something?
I think so. I know people who are in dark places in their lives, and they've just, that's really what all of their energy is focused on, is fixing that problem. So they don't have any energy to put out into products that they want to produce and homework, school, extracurriculars. They quit them. They don't do their homework. They don't even come to school because they're just so focused on fixing themselves. So I think if they just had less stress, it would help fix both of the problems, because if they had less stress, they wouldn't have to fret over their work, and it would really help relieve some of the sadness that they're feeling. So,
Sierra? Like, I agree with Anna, it helps with coping with your feelings and, like, get all that sadness and stress or whatever you're feeling off your shoulders so you can focus more on school. Because a lot of people deal with that kind of stuff, like depression, and that's what leads a lot of kids not to go to school, because of those feelings they might have, or this sadness or this imperfectness about themselves that they might be feeling, and so they don't want to go to school, which limits a lot of their learning, or makes them so they can't learn at all because of staying at home, not going to school, and maybe sometimes even gets to the level where they hurt themselves. And so that's why I feel like if we do eliminate all that stress and sadness, then it's like school will become like actual people want to go to school and people would actually want to learn.
Sarah, and I so appreciate your honesty regarding the emotional state of students on campus. Me as an instructor, I have a strongly vested interest in maintaining a safe emotional space in my classroom. And I guess what I'm wrapping around to, what can individual teachers do to create an emotionally safe environment? Because it's from your characterization, it sounds like there's lots of students that are dealing with their own troubles and dramas, and teachers have to be aware and reach out. What can we do that?
Well, it depends on the person, but personally, I think it's really important to never judge a book by its cover, because you don't know who's going to be dealing with what, and you're not going to know if someone's sad, because people get really good at covering that. So it's important to always be kind to everyone. Not that certain teachers aren't, but to never, you know. I know some students who get really stressed or get a lot of anxiety when teachers generally yell at a class, and that's just not a good environment for those kind of students to be in. So I think really just keeping a calm nature in a classroom is super important.
Yeah, and I feel like with teachers, they should just like be open to other students' feelings and try to recognize what the student might even be going through before yelling at a class or being directly rude to that student or pointing them out and getting them like on the spotlight when they might not want to. So I feel like if they do talk to these students and get them to, or get to know what they're going through, and maybe even help them to make that school environment better, then it'll help with them. Because there is a video we watched in biology class, and it was a video talking about these different students, and it was showing like what each, like it was showing the natural school environment, kids talking, kids going through the halls and that. But it was showing, it would go to each kid and it would show what they might be going through at home. Like they might have to be the only only person in their family that has to support them, or they might have to have an extra job so they can do that. Or they might have been going through a family death or just a family issue that might be really hard for them to cope with. So I just feel like if those teachers really communicate with those kind of students, it will help with those, that environment, and help the school classrooms in school be better and more environment friendly to those type of students.
So do you think that having music and dance and creative art classes mixed in with the harder, you know, the more scientific classes would bring everybody to a better emotional state, so that when they went into the scientific stuff, they would be more capable of learning efficiently rather than being distracted because they just got to release a lot of their emotional stress?
I think so, because in arts, there's just no stress. I mean, there is some stress in, like, deadlines, but you're enjoying what you're doing, because if it's an elective, you chose to do that. So you're going to enjoy your work, and it's not going to be stressful for you, and it's really just going to be very therapeutic when you're doing it, whereas in science, there's a lot of people that just don't enjoy it, so it's just stressful.
Yeah, I feel like with classrooms like that, like science and math, it's like they're so hard to push you and they want to push you to better, and it's like a lot more stressful environment. Whereas if you have that music and those visual arts like art or drawing or stuff like that, you have a less stressful environment and it's more stuff that you might want to do, and it's more fun and more relaxing, so it helps calm the student and maybe even forget about their, like, what they're going through, kind of, like, release it or their sadness, so they're not having to hold those emotions inside and having to deal with those stressful classes if they don't have the electives.
How about just the physical nature of high school? I mean, okay, a bell goes off. They're not too obnoxious at Ukiah High. They used to have a bell at Willits High School that sounded like an electric chair going off. It was just like, whoa! You know, but I mean, so you start off with this, you know, this bell goes off, and everybody has to sit in and be quiet, and some kids are amped up because, you know, they've just had an interaction with somebody else on the way to the class, and maybe, you know, there's a thing at home. There's always things at home. And, you know, and also, you know, maybe the teacher's having an emotional day, too. I mean, the teachers are also having to be human beings, so it's a really complicated situation. So do you think that there's things that could change in the, just the way class, the school is structured that would make a difference? I mean, I'm dancing for the first 3 minutes. Everybody has to get up and dance or...
I mean, maybe. I've never tried it, so I guess that could work. But I think just if everyone just is very calm and doesn't get riled up over, oh, we got assigned this huge homework assignment and it's due tomorrow. Like, just calm down. Like, you have a lot of time to do it. It's okay. Just have a really chill environment. Everyone can just be themselves.
Yeah, I feel the same way, and I feel like it would be a lot calmer and a lot stress-free if we did that.
And it really just, it depends on the person, but I think it's not something that people can control. School is only going to get better if everyone as a whole wants it to get better and pushes themselves to make it better. It's not a corporation thing. Government can't fix it. It's really just about, do you want it?
Yeah, it's pretty much up to the whole of the students, and it can't just be that one student who wants it. It has to be every student. Because, like, I was on the soccer team for Ukiah High in the beginning of the year, and with our team, it was, we had a hard time in the beginning of the season, but that's because we weren't working together, and not all of us wanted to try as hard as others, and some of us didn't want to try. And it was like, in order to be able to do well as a team, we have to be able to try, and all of us be at that same level of wanting to try, and it can't just be one person on a team. It has to be the whole team, or else it's not going to work. So I feel like it has to be every student, just like at school. It has to be every single student, or most of the students. It can't just be the lesser amount or just even one.
So for me, ladies, the question becomes, how do teachers, how do peers, how do school officials deal with those kiddos that clearly aren't engaging or want to be part of the team? Do we kick them out of the team? Do we provide extra support so they're better team members? I mean, we try every which way, and those type of students still kind of puzzle us.
Well, I feel like we definitely shouldn't kick them out or do something like that, because that just discourages the students, and it makes them not want to try even more. So it's harder to get them to become part of that team. But I feel like if we do support them more, maybe add extra things that they can maybe relate to or become part of that will help them become part of that team, instead of neglecting them out or not really paying attention or trying to help them and letting them be that one student or couple of students in the back of the class that don't want to say anything or don't engage in the conversation. So I feel like it has, like, the teachers and the administration, other peers, have to try to get them to become part of that team and help bring them in and help them be noticed and help them get their opinions out, so they're not so, like, they're not so by themselves and so cooped up in that own self bubbles and not say anything or want to become part of anything.
I think it's a lot about respect, because I know a lot of adults that tell me, they're like, well, you should respect me because I'm older. And that's really not true. I know that some people don't deserve respect, but a lot of kids lash out because they feel like adults treat them unfairly. But I think if you're both really open and not angry and just respect each other, it's going to work out a lot better. And that may take some time and a lot of effort, but I truly think that it would help.
Yeah, and adding on to that about the teachers saying, like, you have to respect older people because they are older than you. It is. It's not really true, because no matter the age of the person, no matter how old they are, no matter if they're even older than you or younger than you, you have to respect everyone. You can't just respect the older people and not consider the younger people's feelings, or like the teacher saying you have to respect them because of the teachers. You have to have that respect and have that consideration for the students and how they feel. Because of like that phrase, like, you have to treat your elders with respect or whatever. It's not just elders. It's everyone as a community, as a whole. It can't just be those older people.
Yeah. We're all people, so there's some people that have done bad things that don't deserve that respect, but if you don't know someone, don't treat them badly just because they're younger than you. You don't know what they've done in their life. They could be the next Albert Einstein, and then you would respect them if they were younger than you. So you really have to take it as a level. It's like, we are all people, and I'm not going to treat you with any less respect than I would someone who's 60 versus someone who's, like, 18.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people, especially younger students and people who are still in school, whether they're in elementary or college or whatever, like, they have to gain respect by becoming that Albert Einstein or becoming that famous person in the world that gets noticed. A lot of people wait till then to give somebody respect, but it's just not right. They should try to give them respect from the beginning, because you don't know what that person's going to end up being when they grow up, or end up becoming maybe the next greatest billionaire or whatever. You're not going to know until they do. So you have to give them respect before. You can't just wait till that moment comes.
Yeah. And I think also it can be hard for a relationship between an adult and a teenager, because teenagers can be really disrespectful. But I think you kind of have to give them a chance, because they could just be acting that way because of something that's going on, or maybe they just have a prejudice against adults because they're like, oh, you're gonna treat me like a little kid. But I think it's about, you know, talking to each other and finding out what works and making sure to not overstep boundaries.
Well, yeah. And like we said earlier, about the laptops being distributed in Ukiah High and Pomalita and some of these other schools, what a lot of people are saying, like, especially the parents and some of the older people, they're saying, you shouldn't be around this much technology. It's just distracting the students. And what do you feel, like, do you think that's true? Or what do you feel on the perspective of laptops?
Well, I do think a lot of older people have a prejudice against technology, and they're like, you shouldn't be around it all that much. But it's part of our culture now. There's no way to avoid it. And it can be a tool just as much as it can be a distraction. So it just really depends on how you take it and how you use it. And I know people that use it well and that use it as a tool. And I know some people who use it as a distraction. But I don't think just because we're teenagers that you should be acting like, oh, you have another device now. Because everyone uses technology. It's just how our society works now. It's been engraved into our daily lives.
Yeah, no matter if you're an accountant or a computer scientist or even just a mechanical engineer or something, you're always going to have that technology of either a phone, a computer, a laptop, a desktop. It just depends. And for us, I feel like if we do, yeah, it just depends on the students. It can be a distraction, but it just depends on what other students might think, or it just depends on the student in general. But I feel like if we get these Chromebooks at these earlier ages, then we have that knowledge of the computer, and we know how to use it, and we know how to get information off of it. So when we do go into the workforce that do use computers, we know how to use it, and we don't need to use that extra step to learn to how to use this technology. And I feel like it's just another, the laptop is just another way for us to get information and for us to get a new, like a new insight and on a new way to find stuff and a new way to kind of find our knowledge and use it for school and other activities.
Yeah, and one thing that I wanted to talk about was a lot of people think that high school is just a stage to college because of how many things that they drill into us about college. Like, if you're going to go to a UC or a CSU, you have to do this many classes to get these requirements and blah, 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 blah. It's all about college and college education, but if we start thinking like that, it's gonna add on to the fact that we don't really learn in high school. We're doing this for the test, we're doing this for the requirements and for the college entry process, and that's what we're working towards. But I think we should really be working towards education as a whole and learning, and college is just a part of that. That if you really learn, that you'll be able to go to college.
Well, yeah, not just that. Some colleges have, like, at Ukiah High, we had the AGA requirements on certain classes you have to take to get in these universities or colleges, but not all those requirements are for every single college and university in the U.S. or whatever. It's only for certain colleges and universities, and it also depends on the field you're going into. So there's different types of classes you have to take for a certain amount of fields and that. So the AGA requirements and just the requirements for college and that, it's hard to try to complete those because there are certain colleges you might want to go to, but they might not have those requirements. So I feel like the high schools and the colleges should get together and find these certain requirements for each college and that, so you don't have to look into different requirements that different colleges and universities have, because not all the universities and different colleges have the same requirements.
Yeah, and it's not everyone's going to go to a UC or a CSU, but it doesn't matter where you go to college, because you can get the same education anywhere you go, and that applies to elementary school, middle school, high school, college. There are going to be some schools that are better than others, but that doesn't mean that you can't work as hard in both of those schools, and you can take basically the same courses. So it all adds together just right, so all the community college requirements aren't going to be as big as the requirements to go to, like, Stanford or a college in England that only cares if you took the courses to get into your specific major. They're not going to care if you took history in sophomore year. So it just depends on where you want to go to college, or what kind of education you want.
Yeah, and a lot of colleges, like Anna was saying, how they offer pretty much the same courses in that. It's just like between like Mendon College and then a CSU and maybe Stanford, like they all have the same, kind of like the same courses, but they're all different levels of learning. Like the one's more rigorous than the other, and it's like it just depends on how much effort and how much you want to put towards learning the material. Because if you don't put that much effort into learning the material when you get into Stanford, you're not going to do well in the college. So it just depends on what level of learning you want to try to do and how rigorous you are. It just depends.
I'm kind of curious, ladies. Some people might describe current high school learning as just a step towards college. Anna says that we should respect and go through the process of just natural organic learning that will take us through high school. What, in the next 4 years, when you get out of Ukiah High, what skills do you not have now that you want to walk out with?
Well, I want to learn,
and it doesn't have to be facts or periodic tables, just to be able to do X activity or, yeah, just very open. What would you like to be able to do at the end of these 4 years that you can't do now?
Speak fluently in French. I really like languages, so I would love to just be exposed to more language. And
yeah, I would like to be exposed more to the Spanish and Italian culture and learn those languages, since I do have some Italian in me, so I want to learn more about my culture. And I also want to learn more about technology, because I know what I want to major in. I want to major in mechanical engineering and computer science, so I want to learn more about computer science and all this stuff that I can't learn now.
And it sounded like you were saying that all the high schools kind of offer the same thing, but this is my first exposure to really seeing the difference between the rural schools and Ukiah. And would you guys read off the list of elective classes that Ukiah High School offers?
Okay, so Ukiah High School offers music, photography, ceramics, art, drama, choir, French, Spanish, band, journalism, creative writing, yearbook, computer science, and then as well as a lot of clubs. Oh, and also psychology and peer counseling, scrubs, and
yeah, would you talk about scrubs? More. Scrubs is really an interesting thing.
Okay, so scrubs is a program for people who may be venturing into the world of medicine and doctor jobs, nurses. So they do a lot of things to do with general well-being of people. So they learn how to do CPR. They learn how to stop bleeding. And from scrubs, you can go into other classes. So once you take scrubs, you can go into extreme responders, other science classes that have to do more with anatomy. And extreme responders is just a more advanced level of scrubs. So you learn how to do more things. And sometimes they'll let extreme responders onto the football games so that if someone gets hurt, they know what to do and so they can help. So it's a really cool program for people who are into medicine and if they want to be a doctor.
Especially if they want to help people in the hospitals and be someone who can help other people in general and be in that medicine field, then that scrubs is it helps with that those basics. So you can move on and become higher level and know what to do when you do go into nursing or go in to learn more about medicine.
Yeah, well, to me, it seems like that would be just a great thing to kind of teach everybody in a way. In the same way that I think peer counseling would be a thing that I wish everybody took. There's problems with doing that, and it's a whole other show, but just basic first aid and how to respond in an emergency, even if it's only a week-long seminar, would be a really good thing. We just raise the level of the whole thing. So how about the vocational classes that are offered at Ukiah High also? That's pretty amazing.
There's agriculture, machine shop, welding, auto repair, and wood shop.
How about cooking and food preparation?
We don't have that.
You don't have a food mm-mm. preps?
Nope. I actually, when I was in sixth grade, I shadowed a Pomelita, and they had, it was called exploratory. And it wasn't all about cooking. They did typing and all this other stuff. But I know they did do a unit on cooking.
Yeah.
There was I think they got rid of that.
Yeah, there was a certain teacher who did a unit on cooking. But when I was in eighth grade, I believe, at Pomeland, when I went back, I don't think that year they had cooking as part of the exploratory class.
Yeah.
Ukiah High is definitely shifting right now to try and emphasize vocational training for students that might not find as much comfort in an academic track or UCCSU. A lot of people kind of are noticing a mirroring of the European model of education, where we're as a district and kind of as a nation educationally pushing these vocational trainings, giving them access to the job market right after completing high school. It's a really powerful program for those that, like I described, don't have comfort in the academic realm, but might find themselves really skilled in a trade right after high school. A lot of those students we described earlier that might not buy into the general A through G, UC, college bound, find a lot of comfort in those vocational classes.
Right, and an ability to survive too, because I mean, how many people my generation, your generation, have college degrees, but that isn't how they make their living, you know, and they have learned to trade. And because a lot of the trades pay as well, and you know, in some ways they're more satisfying than some other jobs. So it's like, to me, the vocational, I know Gordon, when Gordon Oslin was interviewed in 2003, when he was principal of Willits High School, he was interviewed about what he saw for the future of high school. And he talked a lot about a need for more vocational training, because it isn't just a choice that they're not going to go to college, but I mean, some people, that's what they want to do. He said too, he's talking about heavy equipment operators and stuff, you know, and tractors, and that's why I think cooking is another thing, because there's actually really good earning potential being a really good cook. And by the way, that interview with Gordon Oslin is up at our website, youthspeaksout.net. It's the 2003 version of Revisioning High School. It's down near the bottom of the page. It's really worth listening to the interview with John Curchiro from 2014, when he was retiring from teaching at the charter schools. Also, I highly recommend listening to that also. Okay, it's your show. You got 5 minutes left.
All right.
Let's see. Okay, we could offer one. Well, you know what? Let's not, because it'll just get too stressed at the end there. So let's, what other points did you want to make that you haven't made yet?
One of the things that was in the video was the Finland schools, they kind of, it's not exactly a block schedule, but they spend like more time in certain classes, and they have a little bit less classes than we do a day. And I feel like if we did do block schedule, instead of these six periods a day, 55 minutes in each class, I feel like if we did do block schedule, we would have extra days to do homework, so we wouldn't have stress, and we actually got learning out of the homework. And we have, like, we would have more time to open more discussions in the classroom and get more learning, or get more, like, discussion and learning in, because once you get to that 45 to an hour mark, you start to get into these really good conversations and really good discussions, and you get in this finally mindset of really focusing. And by that time for us, the bell rings, we have to move on to our next class. So we lose that train of thought, and we lose that moment of hard thinking that we had. And I feel like if we did have the block schedule, we would have those things. We would be able to have these really good open discussions and learn more from it than cramming six periods a day in with six different classes.
Yeah, I know this school that does, they don't exactly do block scheduling, but they do have more time to their classes, and they do what college does, and they have semesters, so you take a certain class for one semester and then a different class for the next semester. So my friend is taking one math class for one and the next math class for another, so she's going to get ahead in math more than Charity is. So I think that would really be something that we could consider, because their school has a very good percentage of people getting into their top colleges. About 92% get into their top five colleges, which is really incredible. And I think it really just has to do with their class size and with the way that they set up their school. It's just really about learning.
Well, yeah, I think another factor is the class size. Because in my PE class right now, we have about 52 to 53 students in that class. And in most classes at the Ukiah High School, because we have so many kids at the high school and not a lot of classes that we should have, because we have so many kids, we can divide them up easier. We have 30 to 35 kids in a class, sometimes close to 40, depending on what the class is and how much that class can hold. So I feel like we should also maybe lower the maximum so we can have a less amount of students. So the teacher can focus more on each student than having just a general discussion, not being able to focus on every kid and get them to that more level than if we had just the teacher doing general discussions.
So where are we going to be able to, where are the listeners going to be able to find your podcast when you get them going? Do you guys have a site? Are you going to put them up on SoundCloud or?
Mm-hmm. We're going to be featuring the majority of the podcasts that we record on SoundCloud. We would like to create a relationship with iTunes to be able to put them up. There's sort of some logistics you have to pan out before that. But SoundCloud's going to be the most accessible. UHS News SoundCloud.
Okay, UHS News SoundCloud. And I will bring it up. As time goes on, too, I'm really excited that Matt has provided this awesome thing for high school kids to do. So
that's all we have for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Sierra Pearson, a freshman at Ukiah High.
And me, Anna Featherston, a freshman at Ukiah High.
And we want to thank Matt LaFever and Goran Oslam for assistance in organizing this show. Laytonville Healthy Start Collision's Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's Youth Speaks Out. Our environmental prevention strategies in the community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and Collision, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089, or email JMA at jmashields@pacific.net.
Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs in streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is normally aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 5 weeks. That is December 4th at 3 p.m. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in December.